The way we're doing this in recent years is that we're starting with just some nice hashkafa, some idea relating to Pesach, and then after that, whoever is not home for Pesach can leave, or if you just want to, you know, see what other people suffer with, you can stay, and then... Right. No, I was there. I thought that was beautiful, Musa, by the way. In fact, well, okay, that you were there for that. No one else was. So were you there for that? No, you weren't. What? Yeah, Joey. So we're going to say, and I actually was about to touch on that point. Let me just share with you a thought that I had a number of years ago. Not that I had, that I saw. And I heard from my Chavrusa Rabbi Rasner Shlita a number of years ago, and you know, after that we'll get into the halachas of preparing for Pesach. So I want to talk a little bit about charoses, not in terms of charoses recipes, nor the fact that Rav Shechter holds that we all have the wrong recipe, because you're not supposed to put, he holds you're not supposed to put apples in charoses, that you're supposed to put citrus fruits in charoses, which would ruin it, by the way. But we have something that's supposed to remind us of the tit, of the cement in Mitzrayim, and the slave labor we did in Mitzrayim, and yet it's easily the most delicious thing at our Seder table for a good portion of the evening. You know, until the actual food comes out, it's right. It's like by far the most delicious thing we have on the table, and yet it's supposed to remind us of this hard work. Now, the hardest part about charoses is just not eating too much of it, because the halacha requires that we can't allow it to dull the taste of the maror. You could dip the maror in the charoses, you're supposed to dip the maror in the charoses, but then shake it off. You're not supposed to have charoses like piled on your maror. And that's a challenge. But the truth is that even when we don't consider it, a delicious taste, there is a contradiction. Even when we don't consider the taste of the charoses, there's an inherent contradiction in the theme of the charoses. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes Zayin asks, my mitzvah, what is the mitzvah of charoses? Why do we have charoses? And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Levi Omer, Zecher l'tapuach. A zecher to the tapuach. What is a tapuach? Right, so that's what Rav Shach says everyone gets wrong, because Tosus writes, tapuach in biblical Hebrew does not mean an apple. That's only in modern Hebrew. In biblical Hebrew, tapuach means a citrus fruit. And that's why he thought that it's better to have like an esrog in your charoses or something like that, some type of citrus fruit. They didn't even have apples in the Middle East. It's unlikely that. But okay, zecher tapuach, it's a zecher to the citrus trees that we had in Mitzrayim, and that the women used to wait for their husbands under the citrus trees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar zecher latit, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's a zecher to the cement and the mortar and whatever else that they, you know, the stuff they had to work hard with. Amar Abaye, Hilchach tzarich l'kayue v'tzarich l'smuche. Therefore, you need to make it, l'kayue means you need to make it acidic. Why would you make it acidic? Because of what? Because it's really a citrus fruit, and a citrus fruit is acidic, and an apple is not really acidic. So that's why it's supposed to be somewhat of an acidic, zecher l'tapuach, and tzarich l'smuche, you also need to make it like mushy, zecher l'tit, like cement. Now, how can the same item be a reference to both the worst part of the Shibud? The Maral in Gvuras Hashem writes, Ein dover yoser kasha min melechas atit, that the hardest manual labor one can do is cement mixing. Apparently, we have cement mixers, we have those trucks that, you know, go round and round. But to actually manually, physically mix cement, you know, Jews don't do that. You go and you pick up the guys at the train station, right? Meaning, like, we don't do that kind of thing. That is like a really, really, really hard labor. And yet, at the same time, the charoses represents the greatest miracle that helped us in Mitzrayim. The Rashbam in Pesachim writes, Zecher l'tapuach b'mesech sota. The Gemara in Sota tells us, Shoyodos Hashem b'neihem b'lo eitzev shlo yakiru ben ha-mitzrim, that women were giving birth under tapuach without any labor pains in Mitzrayim, so that the Mitzrayim would not be on to them to the fact that they were having children. It was the greatest miracle. It was Jewish survival, is what the tapuach represents. So you have this one item, charoses, which represents the most challenging, difficult, hardest labor that we did, and yet at the same time, the fact that actual labor pains didn't exist, and that there was a tapuach that allowed for the continuation of the Jewish people. Furthermore, we start the Seder with the declaration, Halach Ma'anya. Now, the majority of the Mefarshim on Haggadah understand that that statement is specifically added into the Haggadah in times of Galus, that we didn't say Halach Ma'anya in times of Geula, in times when we had a Beis HaMikdash, and it's meant in one way or another to really to address the elephant in the room. What's the elephant in the room when we start our Seder? What are we doing? We're celebrating that we're free people. For most of Jewish history, we haven't been free people. We're celebrating that we have autonomy in our land, and we have, you know, we had Geula. For most of Jewish history, we don't have Geula. So it's like the big question that's just hovering, this dark cloud that hovers over the whole Seder. And somehow that statement was added in to address that problem. But the question is, how? How does it really address? It's nice to know that one day we're going to have Geula. But right now, we're all still in Galus. So why does it help to know that one day we're going to have Geula? It's hurtful. We know what could be and what's not. We know what we could have and what we don't have. Why is it that Halach Ma'anya, because L'shana Abba, Baradi Yisrael, L'shana Abba B'nei Chorin, why does it make me feel good? Right now, I'm not Baradi Yisrael. Right now, I'm not B'nei Chorin. So Rabbi Ganat, in his Sefer Gan Shoshanim, writes that if a person is in jail and he knows that he's going to be freed imminently, even though he may still be incarcerated and he could be eating bland prison food, the bread of affliction, the lach ma'anya, it tastes a bit sweeter on that last day in jail. Right? If a person's been in jail for a decade, for however long, and then it's the last day of his sentence. So that day, that prison food will taste super sweet. That day he walks with a spring in his step. That day he's smiling at everybody. It's as if he's already free. On the other hand, imagine a person has just been sentenced to 15 to 20 years in jail, and they have to check in tomorrow. Today is their last day of freedom, and they know this is the last day that they're going to see the outside world as a free person. So they may be roaming the streets and maybe walking up and down Central Avenue like a free person, but they don't feel free. Sometimes freedom is not defined by where we are, but by which direction we're facing, by where we are headed in life. And the way that we can confidently achieve the sense that we're on our way to Geula is through the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's felt while we are still in Galus. Every time we experience a little bit of Hashem's guiding hand in Galus, we can feel reassured of the great Jewish destiny of Geula. And that's how the Bali Musa explained the comment of Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev. Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev writes that Hashem showed his affection for Yosef by having him dragged in Mitzrayim to Mitzrayim in a caravan of sweet-smelling spices. Now, while Yosef was being schlepped down to Mitzrayim, the stuff that he was that was in his company, you know, he was in the back of a truck or something, but at least the stuff in the truck smelled good while he was being taken away from his family and sold down to Mitzrayim. Now, at first glance, it's a very strange Rashi, because if you're being torn away from your family as an enslaved prisoner and you're among total strangers, do you really find comfort in that, you know, ooh, at least these handcuffs are cushioned? You know, like, why is that something that's comforting to him? Why is that something that's at all helpful to him? But the Bala Musar, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and others explain that the sweet smell doesn't compensate for the pain. It doesn't make up for the pain that he was going through. It can never measure up to the pain that he was going through. It was just to remind Yosef that Hashem is still engineering everything, and that the master plan is ultimately going to be fulfilled. And as long as you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is engineering everything, the anxieties go away, the worries go away, the fear goes away, because you know that there's Ribbono Shel Olam that runs the world. Rabbi Rasner said that Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach asks the question that, you know, at Mariv on Yom Kippur, on going into Yom Kippur, on the Mariv of Yom Kippur night, after Kol Nidre, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusel Yolam Ve'ed out loud. Why do we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusel Yolam Ve'ed out loud on the Mariv of Yom Kippur night? Because we're Malachim, we're angels on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur night, you know what it feels like on Yom Kippur night? Like the first night, going into Yom Kippur. Like I feel right now, I just had a hamburger because I just rushed home and made it up and just like stuffed my face with something before I came out here. I feel gross. You know, like that's what it feels like on Yom Kippur night. You just like, you know, you just ate a lot. You don't It doesn't feel very angelic. You know when you feel angelic? At the end. Motzai Yom Kippur, Baruch Shem Kol Machzod Yom Ved. Quiet, not out loud. Says Rosh Hashanah, I don't understand. After Yom Kippur, you feel like you're floating away like an angel. That's when you should say Baruch Shem Kol Machzod Yom Ved out loud. That's when you've achieved it. You really feel like an angel. At the beginning, nothing's happened yet. Why do you feel angelic? And Rosh Hashanah Zalman explains, it's not about where we are, it's about where we're headed. When Yom Kippur begins, we're looking forward to a whole day of intense tshuva, utfila, and fasting and dedication to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When Yom Kippur ends, we're looking forward to preparing for Sukkot and eating our meal and getting on with whatever we need to do that night. And so much about how we ought to feel and how we do feel doesn't depend on where we are, but about where we are headed. So Rabbi Ganach explains that we begin the Seder with Halach Ma'anya to explain to everybody that yes, we are still eating the bread of affliction. And even though that's true, the story we're about to tell is our guarantee that we're one day going to experience another Geula. And that allows us to walk around like free men even when we're in Galus. And that's why we declare, L'shana Abba B'nei Chorin, L'shana Abba B'arad Yisrael. We could celebrate tonight because we know that we're coming to the end of that sentence in exile. We know that we're on our last days in jail. We're like that imprisoned man whose release is imminent and he walks around with a spring in his step. We're addressing the elephant in the room, the dark cloud that hovers over our Seder, whatever other metaphor you want to use, right? We're addressing the idea that, what are we doing here? How can we celebrate? We're still in Galus, and we're saying, yes, we're still in Galus, but the whole point of the night is to tell us that we're on our way out of Galus, that it's imminent. And that may explain the theme of the Charoses. It's true, Charoses symbolizes the most challenging of all physical labor, cement making, cement mixing, but it also symbolizes not the freedom and the miracles we experienced on the way out of Mitzrayim. It symbolizes the tapuach, those little things, those little hugs that Hashem gave us while we were still in Mitzrayim, just to remind us that He was still there. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like every once in a while, just squeezed our hand, just so that we knew that it was Him, just so that we knew that He was still there. And that's what gave us the kolach. That's what gave us the ability of the Jewish women to deliver babies pain-free. Was an unnatural event, and it was Hashem's way of reminding us that He has a much bigger plan for us, and we shouldn't despair. So the matzah is a symbol of chipazon, of this, the haste with which we left Mitzrayim. Karm Pesach, that's a symbol of the ultimate ge'ula. Charoses is a symbol of confidence that there will be a ge'ula, even while we're in Galus. You know, in 1933, Rav Shimon Schwab spent a Shabbos in Radin with the Chavetz Chaim. We just heard about Rav Schwab over Shabbos. Rav Bamberger spoke about him. And during that Shabbos, Rav Schwab reported the Chavetz Chaim told him how a Jew has to look at the prospects of Geula. You can't be sure that Geula will come today. A lot of days have come and gone when we hoped for Geula, but it didn't happen. However, you have to at least see it as a 50-50. At least that's a possibility. You know, imagine, you know, someone is expecting a baby imminently. So they prepare for a possible Shabbos delivery. You know, they call, they ask all the shaylos. I always get the shaylos in advance. How do I get to the hospital? What do I do? Taxi, Uber, it used to be the Hatzalah cars before Uber was invented, right? You know, should I call Hatzalah? No, don't call Hatzalah unless it's an emergency. Why would you have a Jew drive you to the hospital if you could have a guy drive you to, right? Meaning all of those questions that people wanted to know. What about signing the papers? What, you know, all of those things. Packing a bag in advance. Can I bring my cell phone in the bag? Can I bring my husband's cell phone in the bag? Can we bring everybody's cell phone? 4 iPads, everything that you need. You know? So what are the chances of a Shabbos delivery? It's less than 50-50. And yet we're supposed to have at least that kind of confidence that the Geula is imminent. And when our confidence begins to wane, we look at one of the infinite miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs for us in Galus as a raya that the Geula is coming. So that's ultimately what gives us the strength, what gives us the hope in times of Galus, is that the Geula is coming. And the truth is, in every difficult time that a person has in life, you look for those silver linings, you look for those little things that tell you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there. That's what we ought to do. The tapuach was enough to get us through centuries of the worst kind of avdus. because it was just that squeeze on the hand. It was just knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. You know, and whether what we're dealing with is something big, or whether what we're dealing with is something as, and I'm not disrespecting it, but something as small as our annual Pesach cleaning out that, you know, the ice that builds up on the freezer because your husband bought the freezer that doesn't defrost on its own, and, you know, and my wife said, she's not, this is the annual we hit when we don't talk to Abba Day because I bought a freezer 20 years ago that doesn't defrost on its own. Whether it's big or small, you know, to recognize that we're headed somewhere, that we're going somewhere good, you know, we're going somewhere really great. I loved what Rabbi Bamberger said on Shabbos. You know, when Rabbi Bamberger said, "Look," he didn't say it exactly this way. He's a little more respectful, I think. But like, you couldn't do it anyway, right? Meaning, we all know that we're going to be doing this anyway. You have a choice. You could either do it with a smile on your face, or you could do it kvetching the whole time. It's not going to change. You're going to do it anyway. So you get to choose whether you do it with a smile on your face. There was a different rabbi that said recently in a famous podcast that he started by saying, "I know women work hard, but rabbis work harder." My wife turned off the podcast and said, "You call him up and tell him I'm not listening to that podcast until he apologizes to all of womankind." So I haven't yet, but I'm sure others did. So Rabbi Berger's message, I thought, was a beautiful message, meaning you're going to be doing it anyway. This is what we do. And when we recognize that we're headed somewhere really good with this, that we're going to have a beautiful Yantif Ezer Hashem, we're going to be able to spend time with our families, with generations in many cases of our families, and it's a rare, you know, it's a rare treat historically that we have generations of families getting together, and we should recognize that we're that fellow on that last day of his prison sentence. We're not the fellow who's waiting to get into prison, and to realize that there's great comfort in that, and there's great joy in that. Okay, that's my